After a brief sabbatical, it's Thursday, and that means we have good old Mike Grimm on the line, voice of the Gophers. Mike, as always, a pleasure to have you on. Mike's already down in North Carolina. We're going to talk some Gopher bowl game, but I do want to discuss Gopher basketball resuming Big Ten play. They take on Purdue tonight. Our coverage on the Winona Sports Network begins at 6:30. For the life of me, Mike, I can't understand how Purdue are only 6.5-point favorites. Am I missing something with that line?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I think that if you just watch what has happened, that you would think it would be a little bit bigger than that. Purdue is certainly not the team they were a year ago. They're 9-4. That said, they're still, you know, they're still right. They're an interesting group because they don't have Zach Edey, who was clearly their best player, and you know, for a couple of years had them, you know, at near the top of the poll, and for a while they were the number one team, and they made the championship game last year. Braden Smith is good. He was preseason player of the year in the Big Ten. He's their point guard. Their schedule's been tough, so their four losses have been against really good teams. At Penn State, you know, that you know, they lose that game at Penn State, so that probably is a factor in it. And you know, maybe that's it, but I don't often understand that. The analytics tell the story, and that's how those guys figure it out. And then once they set the line, from that, you know, they set the line based on the analytics of here's how the game's supposed to go based on all the input, that the computers flow out. And then from that point, the line varies based on where the money's flowing in so that they keep it pretty much even on both sides. So I don't know fully the answer to that. And we shall see. We shall see. You know, Purdue in the net rankings is not very high, and in the KenPom they're not very high. That, like, they're ranked 20th and 22nd in the two polls, the coaches and the media. But that does not coincide with where and how they've been playing. So the analytics don't love Purdue, and that's probably part of it.
Any given Thursday night at the Barn, I do want to focus mainly on the Gopher Bowl game. We always talk about how it's hard for the coaches and the teams to prepare, but no one gives our lovely broadcasters the same due. So I'm going to do that for you, Mike. How hard is it for you as a broadcaster to try and prepare for these games when nobody knows who's playing?
Yeah, it's hard. It's you know, and it's not you know, it doesn't mean it's difficult work or hard labor. That I'm not trying to say that.
Of course, but, not.
Just in terms of being prepared, like you have to feel like you are going into. It's kind of like going into a final exam, having not been able to really study. That's how I would. You know, it's like, hey, we're going to take a test. Your final grade depends on it. But you're not going to know anything about what we're asking. I know you're taking biology, but we might not even have biology questions on this test. We could be asking you stuff about, you know, whatever else. So we really go in flying blind. Coaches are crazy people anyway. They don't like to give info out. And this is even more ridiculous. This is how it has been at bowl season, you know, the last few years. Neither school's releasing a depth chart because they don't want to give up a potential competitive advantage. And I get it in that regard. I don't often get it, you know, why, you know, they're not a little more forthcoming with us as if we're just going to be releasing info. But anyway, it's going to be a little tricky. I, you know, have, you know, spotting boards just to do some inside baseball here, some spotting boards that I use, and I have not filled those out yet. Usually that's a midweek project. I will do that tonight, the night before the game, which doesn't happen very often, but I'm trying to get all the info stacked up before I lay those babies out. So I've got a nice 6 or 7 hour project here for the road trip tonight to hammer that thing out.
Speaking with Voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm will be on the broadcast tomorrow night in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Gophers taking on Virginia Tech. So looking at the same thing from a football perspective and your conversations with PJ Fleck over the course of the last 2-3 weeks, what has he been able to gather with the players, not only that he'll have on the field, but how is he trying to scout a team that will have a lot of different players that's not on tape, as well as a new defensive coordinator for Virginia Tech?
Yeah, that's the tricky part. Basically, the message that we've gotten from not only the head coach, but the, you know, the parties involved in terms of the players. We talked with Max Brosmer last week, and again, information was a little bit short in terms of what things they even knew. And I don't blame them. This is kind of how they have to treat this. Basically, they just do what they do. You know, they'll have some tendencies. I mean, Virginia Tech is certainly philosophically not going to totally change. They're not going to go from like a 4-3 and all of a sudden, hey, we're going to throw a 3-4 at you. Or, you know, I think from those standpoints, the basics will be the same. And I think if I had to say what the general theme is that we're going to do what we do. We know what we're good at. And then we're going to adjust as the game goes on to see how much different they may be than what they were during the regular season. They may not be different at all. They may be totally different. But at the end of the day, you got to kind of rely on your own pillars. Like, here's what we hang our hat on. These plays have worked against no matter who it is we're playing. And then vice versa, defensively, they don't know for sure who's even going to be the Virginia Tech quarterback at this point, right? Their main starter missed the last couple of games of the season. I mean, there's rumblings and rumors out there that he had some season-ending surgery. There's folks that say, oh, no, he's going to play. So there's, you know, they may see three, they may see two, they may see one quarterback. And so you just got to have a, you know, a general knowledge of all of them and then plan accordingly once you find out who really is playing.
Isn't it like 2 hours before the game is like that's when you have to release the availability list?
Yes, the Big Ten requires that. We're all kind of murky on what the ACC does. it's a conference rule, and they put that in there. It's interesting. The idea was to be open and transparent and release that thing 2 hours before. This is the second year of it. And the only thing it's done is it's made it worse, because during the week previously, many coaches would offer up thoughts on injuries and, hey, we're missing this guy or whatever. PJ Fleck was not one of those, but many coaches would. And now all coaches just say, nope, you got to wait till 2 hours before kickoff. I would prefer, frankly, that they adopt the NFL model, which is much more transparent, and that would be where you start on Wednesday releasing a legitimate injury report where this guy took part in practice, this guy didn't, this guy was limited, this guy did that. If they're really wanting to be transparent, if they really want to, you know, do that, but that hasn't been the case. I'm sure coaches are pushing back on that to make that a league rule for sure.
So this is where the competitive advantage thing comes in with this question. So I don't want you to get in trouble with PJ Fleck. I'm sure everyone at Virginia Tech is currently tuned into the Winona Sports Network right now. So hold it close to the shoulder here, Mike. But is there any names that you sort of are hoping to expect or have heard that might get some action in this bowl game that maybe we haven't seen all that much throughout the season?
It's a great question. I do not know. I don't know anything.
Find out at kickoff, right?
Yeah, I'm going to try to get some info today so I can at least put together a somewhat accurate template on my boards. I think it's fair to say that we're not going to see Ariante Ursary at left tackle. Remember, he got injured at Wisconsin. He's a likely first or second round draft pick. He has already declared for the draft. He's going to the Senior Bowl. Jawed Joyner has committed to going to the Senior Bowl. I doubt if you're committing to the Senior Bowl that you're going to put yourself at risk in this game to an injury. I mean, the last thing you want is to suffer a catastrophic injury right before you cash a winning lottery ticket, right? And so my hunch is that those two guys will not play. Justin Wally, very good corner, one of the top corners in the Big Ten. I had him first team all conference on my ballot. He ended up, I think, second team all conference. He has declared for the draft. Now, the interesting thing with him is he has no eligibility left, so he had no other choice. So this is just me purely speculating. My theory is, well, if he's declaring for the draft, that's kind of his way of saying he's opting out of the bowl game, right? Because he has no eligibility. He cannot play next year. So, unless we thought he was going to go into accounting or something, of course he was going to be in the draft. So my hunch is that was kind of his indicator that I'm opting out. So I would guess that those guys we're not going to see. In our coaches show, when was that, a week or two ago, the one name PJ Fleck brought up was Mason Carrier. He's out of Detroit Lakes, a true freshman, a linebacker. And this is kind of the fun part of this bowl game with these opt-outs, is that you're going to see some guys who will be factors next year, right? They've mm-hmm. been practicing on the scout team or what have you. We saw that last year with Jamison Gears, the tight end. He was he scored a touchdown in the bowl game in Detroit and then kind of stepped his game up to be, you know, a pretty good target, four touchdowns. He led the team. He was tied for the team lead in touchdown receptions this past season. And it was a year ago at this time that Brevin Spanford opted out, and so that put him into a situation where he was the starter. And so I think we'll see a couple of those guys today. Cody Lindenberg is a question mark. He's a senior. There's some speculation that the Senior Bowl might give him an invite, and he's definitely declared for the draft. So if he does not play tomorrow night, then that means you've got Maverick Baranowski and Devin Williams. Those are two linebackers that have played a lot. Who's going to be that other guy? Joey Gerlach has played a little bit. Maybe this Mason Carrier will get some time, if not in that role, certainly on special teams. So there's an opportunity here for some guys to, you know, this is, gives us a little bit of a view of what next year might look like a little bit as well.
Speaking with the voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm, wanted to get to one specific name, but first I'll ask you, 9.5-point favorites, they're a heavy favorite coming into this game. Is there any worry that Minnesota isn't going to be able to get the job done here Friday night against, I would call them a very middling Virginia Tech team?
Yeah, well, of course, there's always a concern. I mean, the one thing to me that, you know, and again, this is all part of it, the line has moved so much. It opened whenever this bowl game was announced at 4 points. Minnesota was a 4-point favorite. And it has moved, like you said, to 9 or 9.5. And that, to me, is an indicator that there's somebody's got info that Virginia Tech is really hurting. Like, they're going to be playing a bunch of backups, because, and they do, they have 20 some guys in the portal. They have 5 guys going to the Senior Bowl, so I would think none of those 5 are going to play in this game. And as I mentioned, the starting quarterback rumbling is that he's probably not going to play, but you just don't know. So to me, that's got to be part of it. The weird thing is this Virginia Tech team, I mean, 5 guys invited to the Senior Bowl, that's the second most of any school. So they have some talent. They finished 6-6. Part of why they had to make some changes, they fired the defensive coordinator. This team blew leads in like all 6 of their losses, like through their first 10 games. If the game ended at the 3-minute mark, think about this. If the game ended at the 3-minute mark, they would have been 8-1-1. So they had the lead or were tied in 9 of their first 10 games with 3 minutes left in the game.
Unbelievable.
And so they, and, you know, the ACC has obviously really taken a black eye here in the bowl season. Sure. They have been no good in the bowl games. So that might also be part of why that line's moving. People are looking like, boy, the ACC hasn't won anything. You know, and I think they only have 1 bowl win. They're like 1-8 or something like that, 1-9. And so maybe it was just one of those years that the ACC was not very good. So I'm sure that's all part of it. But is there a concern? Absolutely. Like that does, you know, I'm telling, you know, anybody, the Gophers just aren't so good that they can just waltz in and beat somebody without having to worry. I got here yesterday and it was around some of the team last night just for a brief moment. I taped a podcast with Jamison Gears, who I just talked about, the tight end, which, by the way, if people want to listen, I'll give a plug. Go Gopher Podcast, Jamison Gears. It was a pretty good conversation. These guys are pumped up. I think that's part of what PJ Fleck has been good at. He's 5-0 in bowl games here at Minnesota. And I think part of that reason is he has been able to talk his team into making this meaningful. You know, I think a lot of this is like the NIT, right? The teams that want to be there, that is a real thing. Like teams that were on the bubble and didn't make the tournament, they're disappointed to be in the NIT. And you see this every year. Some of these top seeds that were on the bubble and they deserve to get in the NCAA tournament, they get in the NIT and they lose the first round of, you know, somebody. And that's totally the reason. The Georgia Tech bowl game, PJ's first bowl game here, it was in Detroit. in 2018, and that was absolutely the case. You could just see from the opening kickoff, Minnesota just dominated that game. I forget what the score was. Mo Ibrahim, as a redshirt freshman, ran for over 200 yards. Georgia Tech wanted no part of that game. Those guys from Atlanta were hoping to get into, you know, a bowl game in the South. They got stuck in Detroit. There was no interest in being competitive in that game, and Minnesota just dominated them. And I think to be honest with you, that was the point at which really set up the great 2019 season, was mm-hmm. the end of that 2018, where they upset Purdue, they beat Wisconsin and won the Axe for the first time in forever, and then won that bowl game in dominating fashion against Georgia Tech. That just set them up for the following year when they had that great season in 2019. So every bowl game, I think, has that trigger mechanism. That if you win it, I mean, if you lose it, it doesn't mean your next season is over. But if you win it, it really, I think, can be a catapult, if you will, into the off season, and mentally can help these guys, set the stage for the following year. And certainly, the Gophers' schedule next year is one that I think they can do some damage with, quite honestly.
Running out of time here, Mike, so I can only accept a one-word answer out of you on this last one. But do you think Daniel Jackson gets? Do you think he gets drafted?
I do. Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm going to say yes.
Fourth round.
Productive to not. Boy, that's a great number. I would guess fourth. I'm going to say somewhere in the fourth.
I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to ask you again close to the draft. Virginia Tech Gophers tomorrow night, 6:30, right here on the Winona Sports Network. And to your point, Mike, before I let you go, Virginia Tech, of their six losses, five of them, one score, single-digit game. So not a rollover team by any means. That's Mike Grimm. Always a pleasure, Mike. Love having you on. Good luck on the call tomorrow. Go Gophers, and we'll talk next week.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.